This show is brought to you by Safety FM.
Well, hello and welcome to another episode of Safety FM with Jay Allen. I hope everything is good and grand inside of your neck of the woods as we are hanging out and talking and doing all of the stuff that we get to do on this lovely podcast. Well, anyways, let's start talking. We're going to jump back in time here and we're going to do some revisiting of Safety Day 2024 that happened in the Rosen Plaza in Orlando, Florida, brought to you by the Alliance for Central Florida Safety, ACFS.org, for more information there. I have the presentation that was done by Andrea Ball and George Gibson talking about safety and hospitality. So sit back, take a listen, and see exactly what was going on during Safety Day 2024. And if you're enjoying what you hear, you might want to start looking at Safety Day 2025. You can go to acfs.org for more information there. So let's not hold anything back. Let's go ahead and get you started as you take a listen to this presentation by Andrea Ball and George Gibson here on Safety FM with Jay Allen.
Okay, that's terrible.
Are we awake?
Talking about hospitality, so you guys got to liven up out there. Come on.
My name is Andrea Ball. AVP Senior Casualty Specialist with Sompo, which is an underwriter, and my cohort.
My co-worker, I'm George Gibson, certified safe professional. Been doing this for quite a while. But Andrew and I had this connection that we both worked at timeshare resorts.
Yeah.
Anybody ever been to a timeshare? Don't admit you bought one, please.
I'm not going to ask that question. Right.
So that's our connection with safety and security in the hospitality business is through timeshare resorts. I think my resort had, almost 1,000 rooms. What about yours?
2,200.
And how many buildings?
Oh, I lost count.
Okay, we only had 25.
Oh, we had, yeah.
You had more, right?
Oh, we had more.
Right.
And that was just one resort.
And she had the maintenance function. I only had the safety and security function.
Oh, I also had 26 others.
All right. So that's where we're coming from in this presentation.
So we're going to talk a little bit about how do we protect our reputation in hospitality through crime prevention. How many people in here actually work in resorts or in hospitality industry? Okay, quite a few. How many of you actually, but they'll also stay at hotels?
Okay, everybody raise their hand. Come on. All right.
This presentation also talks about how to protect yourself in a hotel room. So today, we're going to start talking about crimes and where they can happen. Some of our learning objectives are going to be around the awareness of hospitality crimes, specifically in Orange County. We're also looking at strategies for crime prevention through design and conducting the investigation, documentation, and how it affects the claims. That investigation and documentation piece is very important, and we're going to discuss some of the strategies around that.
And that's what we're talking about isn't really limited to hospitality. The things we're talking about you can use in whatever type of business you have, but we're going to focus on hospitality. Go ahead, Andrew.
So, how does the public get notified on a crime? We have all these platforms out there between WhatsApp, Facebook, Instagram, Citizen, X. I mean, Citizen and X will sit there and push announcements to your phone like crazy. Additionally, we have things like TripAdvisor, Google, Yelp, and others that have the ability to take reviews from people. Right now, I guarantee you if I went on TripAdvisor, I could find a review on this hotel written within the past week. And somebody could complain that their vacation was interrupted by a hurricane.
No, it never happened.
So a lot of the data that we're talking about actually does come from a study that was done about TripAdvisor, and we'll be referencing a lot of that information. If anybody wants a copy of the study, I have it, and we both have it, and we can share it with you.
Mm-hmm. Oh, this is me. Well, look, we wanted to see the size of the hospitality accommodation business down here in Florida. We thought at first, well, what's the injury issues like? You know, what are people really exposed to? And the thing that really shocked me is how many fatalities we've had in hospitality accommodations. You really don't think about that. So when I was looking up, I said, man, how can that... What kind of thing would be causing those kind of fatalities? So, if you go to the Bureau of Labor Statistics, I'm sorry, old school, they have a table, and it talks about leisure and hospitality fatalities, 306. Intentional injury shooting by a person intentionally, 87. So a lot of times we don't think about the dangers that crime really proposes. It's reflected in hospitality. And we make a lot of assumptions about what we should and shouldn't be doing. So we're going to attack some of those concepts, and we're going to give you some strategies for preventing them. One other thing, wait a second. 34.4 million room nights. So we got 34.4 million room nights in Orlando, which means we have an opportunity for something to happen in those time frames. Just think about that for a minute. Does everybody agree when you go and stay in a hotel, you bring everything that you have with you? Your problems or no problems, good things, bad things, etc. So the hospitality, we deal with a lot of stuff. And that number there, 34.4 million nights, that's a big exposure.
So where do these crimes happen? Well, literally they can happen anywhere within the hotel, include from the parking lot to inside the rooms. It can happen between two different guests. It can happen between staff and guest or two different staff members. The crimes range from everything from aggravated assault, murder, all the way down to just simple theft. And anybody can witness this. In fact, I was at an ASSP event a few years ago up in Chicago, and I walked into the room. And I was walking back to my hotel room, went up the elevator, got off with a couple of other people, and I heard just a pop. And I looked, and there a woman slapped a man, and he turned around and just started beating the crap out of her. I'm by myself. If I go and I try to interrupt this, what's going to happen to me? So I turned around, I looked. There was an emergency phone right next to the elevator. I picked it up. It connected me directly to security, and they said officers immediately, and I got on the elevator, and I went back down to the lobby. I did not sleep the rest of that night. I was pretty keyed up. So were a couple of other people who witnessed that. It was pretty impactful. So that can happen to anybody. And even going simple thing, coming back to your hotel room, something like this can show up.
And there's a real, you know, there's an expectation from all of us. When we go stay in a hotel or a resort, we're going to be safe. The environment's going to be safe. We don't have to worry about the criminal element, et cetera. That's our expectation. And that's where our reputation comes, as we've indicated before. So, what are our challenges in hospitality? Number one, high turnover. You can't just train. Well, let's put it this way. Everybody's familiar with informational training, or it's not really training, where all of a sudden we have a meeting on HazCom, we tell them a little bit of stuff, people sign off on it, and that's done, right? You can't treat the safety and security that way. It's not a one and done. It's not a, okay, here, I'm going to read a check sheet to you. It really has to be some thoughtful input and empowering your people so they can deal with crime and prevent crime. And there's some simple things you can do to prevent crime. So Other things that you see up there is language. How many people work in a multi-language environment? Everybody raised their hand. Okay, how many people have, I know that a lot of people, I'm gonna pick on housekeeping, may not have the highest education level and not be able to read something yet because it's in a different language. You know, and people make an assumption just because, hey, look, when I'm working for you and I sit in a meeting, whether I understand or not, I'm gonna sign off. That's my job. Familiar with safety and security system. Everybody doesn't know what a fire pull station is, believe it or not. So those are key challenges. And the staffing levels. How many people have had no problems in their budget having people around and there's no objection to having maybe 10 people on the night shift? How many people you have on the night shift,
Andrew? Oh, we have quite a few on night shift.
Right. I had 2 to 3 people in a 600-acre resort on at night. And that's at 2 a.m. in the morning is when we have fire evacuations, fights, et cetera, right? And those 2 people, I have to depend on them to take care of business. So staffing levels is a critical issue. And those people staying there at night, which are in charge, they need to have the right education, not just information, to really represent you properly.
So all of these things tie back to the reputation of the organization. And everybody has the belief that the travelers need to realize that they do bear the primary responsibility for their own safety. However, this is Florida.
How many people think that the traveler thinks it's their responsibility, not the hotel? Okay, you don't have to raise your hand.
So, you know, it's that reputation. If somebody comes out, they leave like a whole bunch. Okay, they're coming to Florida. They're coming for a week, so they pack their entire house in their car. Do they unpack that car when they get to their hotel that night? No. They leave it out there. What happens when their car gets broken into and all their stuff is stolen? It is now the hotel's responsibility.
That's what they feel.
Yeah.
Right.
So that reputation is key here. And controlling the situations when they do happen is how we protect it. Formerly, you know, we used to have newspapers, magazines, Ford's hotel guides, you know, and all that stuff was
pagers.
Published. Pagers.
Don't forget pagers.
But now we have immediate communication. Has anybody ever tried to dig this out of a teenager's hand? I have 2.
I forget teenagers. How many people got a grandchild that's like 10 and they're running around with a...
Yeah.
And they cry if they don't have it, right?
So if you think back to that conversation prism, that huge chart, there's so many apps and so many ways out there to put out an incident that has happened. And we want to protect. And here's some examples of some of the incidents that have shown up on the internet.
Just bear with us a second.
Just bear with me just 1 second.
1,000 times up.
Hell, in Ocala.
Investigators think that a teenage girl on vacation with her parents lit it on
purpose.
That fire alarm in the middle of the night caused a lot of chaos.
Any sound on? Can you guys hear this?
Connor Hansen spoke to some of the people who had to evacuate, in the middle of the night.
Police say they got a 911 call from a 16-year-old girl who said there was a fire here at the hotel, and she started it. Now, investigators say this all stemmed from a fight with her mom while they were here on vacation.
When we got to the Ocala Hilton, the second fire alarm of the day was going off. Just hours earlier, around 3 a.m., hundreds of guests were woken up to the alarm blaring.
At first, we thought it was all just like somebody pulled the fire alarm, like a kid or something, until we saw the smoke coming out of the front. And we're like, okay, it's actually real.
Photos show the charred couch and damage to the walls.
All right, so the videos aren't playing.
Oh, that's all right. Does everybody get the dialogue right? Okay, so now it's 2 o'clock in the morning, and some kid has set our place on fire. What is that front desk clerk?
NYPD trucks.
What is that maintenance person? What is the banquet cat? What are they going to do?
We get down to the scene.
What's going on with your reputation right now? Does anybody think there's a bunch of texting going on about the hotel, what's happening in the hotel, how it's being handled, you know, who's doing what and what.
So you can actually take these news reports and go back to TripAdvisor to these dates and go within like 5 to 7 days afterwards, and you can see the reports in TripAdvisor that reference the fire alarm in the middle of the night, the couch is on fire, teenage girl basically running amok. The other one is, it has no audio to it, but it's an armed robbery at a Tampa hotel. This was two young guys, they come in, one of them basically pulls out a gun, and you can see the gun on camera, and he points it at the clerk, who's by herself, and his friend hops over the front desk. She unlocks the drawer, he cleans out all the cash, he runs out the door while his friend's holding the gun on her. When the friend is away, he turns and he leaves.
So, I mean, none of these, if you notice, we just pick one from 2023, and then we pick one from 2015.
Yeah.
Think about this. When it gets on the internet, it's there, isn't it?
Describe what happened.
It's your reputation out there. And how that's handled by your staff is key to keeping your reputation intact.
And these are easy to find.
Saying I'm here.
I am here.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
All right, so I'm a big on management, and I'm big on leading indicators. Everybody here knows what a leading indicator is? Okay, none of y'all know what a leading indicator is, so I'm going to bore you with leading indicators. That's what people are doing, that you look at up front so that there's not a problem down the road. So think about the lagging indicators. They're important. People look at insurance costs, right? They look around, they say, okay, it's costing. They look at claims. They look at previous performance indicators. But what I always will look at when I'm trying to figure out what's going on and what we're going to do is, what are the leading indicators? What's on the dashboard? What does that manager look at every day? Do they actually look at the incident reports? Do they attend the training sessions to see how they're going? Are they out and walking the property? All those are keys to preventing crime, as well as when it happens, having an effective response is critical. So that management tours, the dashboard, the observer behavior and conditions, not to mention, you know, you want to compare those observations to what you're saying you're going to do. So somebody does an inspection. They're inspecting lights. And they say, lights are good. Every night, get a report from security. I come in at night. What happened to the lights? Why is building X? And lights are key prevention tool. Key prevention tool. If you're out on that, you're in trouble.
This big for people trying to process.
So, what's your emergency response going to be like? Well, when I first got to the resort I worked at, Mystic Dunes, I had no clue what the outside resources were. So guess what? I went out and I contacted community policing. I had them come out. I went and contacted the fire department. They're on property anyway, at least once a week.
Our job is
had them come out, talk to them. Got a real sense of what my exterior resources are.
Without knowing.
So if you haven't done that, how do you identify where your weaknesses are? And then, what are my internal resources? Do I have a safety person? Is my HR person kind of my safety person? What's the experience of my maintenance manager? You know, what's our current plans? Where are they at? And based on that, identify the weaknesses, list the potential partners to assist. I remember having community policing come out and do a presentation to our management team. I had them download the 911 calls in the area. You could see all our 911 calls. So you got some ammunition when you're trying to influence management. So we were talking about those other cases. This is one where people find a person in a room unconscious. They call and they administer CPR. How is everybody on CPR?
As the guy's screaming, he's like,
how many people are certified in CPR? Thank you very much. How many people have actually had to apply CPR? It's no fun, is it? But that was the appropriate response here. But was pronounced deceased by the fire department on the scenes. No signs of trauma, no evidence of narcotics, homicide, forensics responded. You still don't know if that's a crime scene.
I'm sure she said.
So one of the things I always had to deal with, we had a really great housekeeping department. As soon as something happened in that body's room, they're gonna want to come in and clean up the room.
Back up.
No.
I don't think you can be that close.
That's where your response. You want to keep the room the way it is. So when they show up, they can tell you it's okay. So go ahead, John.
So, and the other thing to remember is if you're doing, you know you've got a crime scene here, or if they're bringing in homicide or forensics as a response to a death inside the hotel, you want to take your own photos as well. You don't necessarily have to take the photos of the deceased individual, but you want to photo everything around. You want to notate, are the windows closed? Are they locked? Was the room secure? Was the room secured when security showed up? All of these things are so important, and it needs to be written down in the report.
To see him.
Okay.
So when it comes to workplace violence and the unthinkable happens,
but it also,
what do we do? How do we respond? And this actually recently happened here in Orlando, an active shooter situation on I-4. It involved I-4, two hotels, and one or two apartment complexes. The individual got out of the car, walked up, and started shooting inside of the first resort in the lobby. The staff was well-trained, very well-trained. They knew exactly what to do. They got to their shelters. They took any guests that were there, brought them into the shelter-in-place areas, locked the doors, and everything was good until one of the staff members looked outside. Walking in the building was a gentleman with a young child.
In your mind.
She took it upon herself to leave her safe area where she was safe. She left that area. She ran outside screaming, go away, get in the car. The gentleman grabbed the young child, got in the car, got away. She was shot in the back. She is still recovering from that.
Still very vivid to me.
So having those procedures of what do we do, practicing active shooter events, all of this is key. Fortunately, that young man was captured and was taken to jail.
So what do we do with this information once we've done our assessment? What are you going to do with it? Has anybody ever heard of a risk register?
Ever.
Nobody. Okay, great. So, you have?
Exactly.
A risk register is basically a tool that's used in the insurance industry where you list your risk, the significance of the risk, what you're currently doing about it, what you think you might need to do about it, and then setting up a plan to implement it. Real simple. So brokers use it as a tool for selling insurance, among other things. But it's a real interesting tool because if you're the safety person, HR person, et cetera, you can get them to help you lay out a risk register. It's very much like a job hazard analysis, but it's at a high level.
So,
and you get the, and plus you get the financial people involved. For example, maybe you need more fencing. So when you put a document like this together, you're going to draw in higher level people. You're going to draw in more resources, and you're going to get a priority list versus just coming in and doing it piecemeal. So that's why all this analysis you've done, what's your community resource, etc., you come into play, and you can lay this out. And when you get this tool out, then you got a roadmap. Go ahead.
This is actually something George and I have both done, either now in our current careers or in our previous careers with our own companies. You sit down, you talk about each risk. You pull it out there. You look at your training. And you have to look at a critical eye. And sometimes it helps to get that third-party individual in, whether it's a consultant or somebody you borrow from your insurance company, just to go over that. Because if you look at that same thing every year, you are probably in the back of your head going, okay, I have 9 million other things to do. This is good. We haven't had a problem with this yet.
I should mention one thing though about money. When you're dealing with their brokers or your loss control people from the insurance company, generally speaking, that's been funded already.
Yes.
So it's helpful. So you can get a resource that you don't have to write a check to because they have an inherent interest in the process.
Absolutely.
Right.
A lot of times, if you don't use your insurance risk control people, you're leaving money on the table.
Mm-hmm. Okay, let's talk about do's and don'ts. How many people have ever been a manager on duty at a hotel here in this place? Besides me. One? I mean, that's it? Just nobody else has been a manager on duty at a hotel? And two? Anybody been a manager on duty at a restaurant? Three? So you're in charge, is that correct?
You know, I guess that they...
You're the person that people go to when there's a customer dispute. You're the person that goes to when there's an emergency. How have you been trained? What are your do's and don'ts?
20 years later.
One of the biggest do's is listening to the guest.
Don't wonder why I know.
When you talk about prevention, especially reputation, you're going to get so much more information.
That's what I did.
You're going to get a clearer understanding of what happened. You have to listen. But a lot of times we're so busy, we're sorry, let's do this. We're not listening to what actually happened from the guest's point of view.
And
the second thing is, how much authority did you have?
I can process it.
So, 9/11, you got one on here that says, don't talk too much. I love to talk. Anybody, I hope nobody else has that problem in the middle of an emergency, because that's when you get in trouble. But don't jump to conclusions, because we want to jump to a conclusion, then we miss the point. But the last one I really wanted to focus on, don't commit to actions outside your level of authority. Is anybody, so if you've been a manager on duty,
find a way.
And then a GM comes in and you say, hey, boss, I took care of it. No problem. I comped their whole stay. It's only going to cost us $6,000. How many people think you got that authority?
Has been to
right, they're laughing because I've had that happen to me. I'll come in and say, you did what? So now you got to go back and say, hey, he didn't have that authority. What's my trip advisor review now? Because now I'm committed, right? So really, each one of these do's and don'ts, you could take this and make this a year-long thing. Just having a discussion with the people you leave in charge of the resort when you're not there.
And it makes us uncomfortable.
And doing it in a matter, when you do these kind of meetings, you bring the managers together. They're all managers on duty. People, you put them in a room. You say, okay, we're going to talk about handling a fire emergency. Okay. What are the do's and don'ts on that?
Time, scene, stance.
You'll find out more stuff that's happened on a resort than you ever realized. And then you look at how many mistakes you made in that process. But then that gives you an opportunity to come to agreement as a team. And remember, turnover is your enemy. So you can't just do these as one-offs. You really have to invest time with the people so they know what to do and what not to do when there's an emergency or there's a crime and how to collect data. The last thing you want is, as Andrew was pointing out with pictures, how do you know there were no narcotics in the room? Did anybody ever take a picture? Did anybody ever check the safe? Did anybody check under the bed? Did anybody take pictures of it? So why didn't the front desk person know that you had a bunch of people checking in with drugs that day?
That all leads into the staff knowing your security and safety systems. So how many people actually check the perimeter fencing? I can tell you when I was working in resorts, that was a weekly chore. And usually I took it because I liked doing it. You go out, you make sure that there's no cuts in the fence. There's nobody's taking a piece of rug and put it over the top of the fence. Nobody has piled up garbage. A lot of that can be quickly assembled and made as a pathway up and over. We also look at pathways. We look at landscaping. Is there any really good place to hide?
There's a place on 192. And it's a bunch of restaurants and stores, and then there's a little wooded area, then there's a resort behind it. And there's a pathway, a wooden pathway that goes right to the resort, interior to the resort. It's not guarded, there's no cameras, it's low light, and people use it all the time. So if you ever walk the property and actually look, you know, and made a decision or engage with people.
The other thing you want to look at is inside the hotel itself or inside the building. One of the big things that we see is hotel room doors not shutting automatically. They are automatic closers. They close to a certain point, but they actually don't latch. And during Milton was a really great example of this. family evacuated from Tampa, had their Labrador with them. Labrador got out of one hotel room. The entire staff is looking for this dog. The dog was found, I believe it was the next day, at the hotel next door in a room. A locked, unoccupied room. How'd the dog get there? Chances are the room wasn't secured. He nosed it open, and then the door shut behind him.
But think about the liability associated with that if your locks are not closing or locking properly. So when you look at your maintenance crew, how are they being inspected? Does the housekeeping know to check? How do you know they were corrected? Just like key security. How are the keys being secured?
Yeah, are the keys being secured? When you're traveling by yourself, do you keep those keys in the little cardboard thing that has the room number on it? Or do you take the cardboard thing, leave that in the room because you have the room number hopefully in your head, and you just keep the key with you? Because if you drop your keys, all of a sudden whoever picks them up, they've got a copy of your key, the hotel you're staying in, and the room you're in.
Can I tell a quick story?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. So
I went to work at the resort, and we had a problem with theft, and I could not figure out what was going on. We kept seeing this mysterious key show up, and everybody knows what a lock audit is. When you go in and deal with the electronics, you can go and get data off of them. It tells you what keys we use. It's key. So what was happening is the person in housekeeping was claiming they had a damaged key. They made up a false key, turned that in, and got a new key, but they kept the old key, and they would use that to get into the room. Don't underestimate the creativity of a criminal.
Exactly. So, and that's actually another Andrea Stays in Too Many Hotel stories. I was checking into a hotel one night, and there's a couple people behind me. And the guy said, okay, Miss Ball, here's your room. You're in 323. Thank you. Okay, so I got up to my room, put my stuff in. All of a sudden, my phone rings. I'm thinking it's front desk, because the front desk is checking to make sure everything's right with the room. No, it was a gentleman behind me asking me if I wanted to go get a drink.
You aren't telling the whole story, but she cannot share with
I
you.
I cannot
no, she can't
repeat
share that
the rest
you.
Of that. But I actually ended up calling down to the front desk and saying, okay, you guys have to move me to another room because I now have a security issue.
And that happens to me a lot of times. You go in, people aren't thinking. Somebody's coming in, and all of a sudden the person reads out the room or says the room to you, and you're like, you really didn't need this. So that goes back to training, follow-up, and education, not just information, but education of the staff on how to manage that. Because that little simple thing, and somebody gets raped, you bought that.
That's the other reason why when you go down to the front desk, you could get a spare room key, why they want to see your ID.
Well, that's okay. You and I could trade stories.
Oh, I know. We could do this all day, George. We have.
So we won't bore you with all those stories because when is lunch due?
As soon as we're done.
Okay. How much time we got left?
About 10 minutes.
10 minutes. All right. Hold on.
So.
We're in that spot. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. I don't know if you guys ever got lost in a presentation. You just saw that happen on stage for real. There's an organization called the American Hotel and Lodging Association. Anybody familiar with them? It's an industry trade group, you know. They partnered with the State Department. This goes back to 9/11 and some of the challenges we face with staying overseas. And they put together a safety security resources audit that you can use. A self-made audit. You don't need to hire anybody. You can get this. You can download this thing from the internet. If you go to the American Hotel and Lodging Association, they got a list of tools for that, and it covers these details. And Andrew, Legionnaires' disease, Legionnaires' thing. You said, how long does it take to implement that?
So to put in a fully functioning Legionella program, about a year is what we found to actually write it, conduct all the testing, and to enact it and get it in place.
Right, and then what we said is the key thing is to run the water.
Yeah, run the water.
Because if you close down a resort and you got it built up, that's the key problem. So when you go online and look at this checklist, you develop that. This is one of the first steps in your prevention activities. Because now you've done a self-assessment, you know what you got. And you got a lot of people really underestimate the complexity of the hospitality industry. Because you deal with food, you deal with activities, you know, you deal with all these issues that if you got an ordinary business, you're really not dealing with. And you're dealing with the public with 34.4 million room nights in just Orlando, not counting all these other spots. So this is a tool we're recommending that your first step you do when you go out and look and want to prevention, and you can use this tool in the non-hospitality, but it's really designed for that.
So I wanted to try to bring it up here, but I can't show it on the screen. However, if you go to AHLA.com, you can go to advocacy, to safety, security. They have several different forms in there, and the safety, security resource form is in there. They have this wonderful free template that you can download that takes you through a full risk assessment of your site, and you can use it in any organization. It doesn't have to just be hospitality, but it will cover all of these things, especially like fire life safety, local emergency contacts, and it gives you a good base program for an emergency response.
I've seen it used. Now, have you seen it used in the? I've been audited by some of the UK travel firms, and they come in and they do an assessment of similar list, but they're using a slightly different form. And they'll do that, then they post it back in the UK as talking about your resort and what the key issues are there.
TUI's a big one that does that.
Right. So these tools are out there. If you want to prevent some of the crime, I'm going to emphasize one thing, light. If you aren't monitoring your lights at the hotel and making sure the lights are working, that's a critical issue. Don't take it for granted that they're being taken care of.
And I can tell you from an insurance standpoint, that's the first thing, one of the first things we will ask for is a light log.
It's critical.
All right, so some of the key risk and preventions. George, did you want to cover?
Sure. All right, does this make sense? Parking lots. Think lights. All right. Think people hiding, lurking, unsuspecting. Public areas. So how many people can just walk in a hotel and just wander around? All right. Check-in process. We already talked about that. And in-room theft. So that goes back to the story I was telling you about the lady who had taken out the key from us and created it. It took a while to figure that one out.
I imagine.
But, you know, when you look at these key areas, that's where the crime is happening. And that's where you put your emphasis. It's not complicated, but the thing that's complicated is your turnover. The repetition, the going back, consistency in the training, the education, those are keys to making sure we reduce the potential for crime.
And one of the big ones is that first floor level patio door access. I mean, we live in Florida. We have a lot of hotels in Florida. And a lot of them have this wonderful access that either goes out to a beach or a pool. That's awesome because you don't have to go out. You can leave all your stuff in there. You don't need to bring anything with you. And while you're out at the pool, some guy sneaks in and steals everything.
Yep.
And it happens. So having those warning signs in there for guests, whether it's even if it's just a sticker on that sliding glass door that says, please lock when not in room, or secure your valuables, lock this door.
Right.
Those are just tiny, cheap things that you can do to help reduce the amount of theft.
Yeah, so auditing your key control procedures, auditing your, you know, lights at night, all those are kind of critical and should be done regularly and consistently and documented.
And since our videos didn't work, looks like we've ended a few minutes early, and we can take some questions if anybody has any.
I don't think they got any questions. They want us to tell you some stories.
Go ahead. Kelly.
So I recently have been staying at the hotels and using the passkey, you know, checking in online.
Yes.
And get my key right on my phone. It eliminates any interaction. at the hotel.
Right.
Which is easy for me to do because I'm invisible. You know, being an older white woman, nobody suspects that I'm there to shoot up the place.
Correct.
But, like, how is that impacting safety? Like, I walk by these people, I go upstairs, I check into my room, I never speak to a soul at the hotel anymore. So how does that figure into the process?
You know, I personally haven't had a lot of experience with that. I've been in one hotel that's like that, but it was kind of in a hybrid because it was doing the electronic check-in plus you had the regular check-in. So I don't have a lot of information about it.
I have active Marriott and Hilton accounts. I can do that a lot. And I do the same thing, especially after the incident where the guy overheard my room. Yes, that is some of the things that we're seeing. That's how we're seeing people smuggle in, whether it's weapons, animals that should not be there. We all know about people like to bring in extra animals. They like to go on vacation with their pets now. That's the thing. So that has brought about housekeeping must go into the room every 3 days. We had the incident in Vegas, where active shooter incident where the gentleman over the course of, he had rented a room for about 2 weeks. Over the course of that 2 weeks, he and his significant other were bringing in duffel bags full of automatic assault rifles and extra cartridges. He ended up shooting a whole bunch of people at a music event.
There's on the website for the American Hotel and Lodging Association, they have videos on that particular problem she just talked about. Right. You can show to your staff on how being alert for those kind of things.
So one of the things...
I'm also thinking about human trafficking.
Yes.
Stuff when you, like I said, these are the kind of things that I think of as a safety pro when I go to a hotel. It's like, no one has ever checked on me. I know that they're not going to come and clean my room anymore. I know that there's, you know, it leaves a lot of leeway for shenanigans.
It does. If you notice where they're putting cameras now in hotels, that has changed a lot. It used to be the cameras were all on the employees to make sure they didn't steal cash. A lot of hotels have gone to cashless systems, and they have turned those cameras. Those cameras have been rerouted to elevators, to hallways. They now have active reviews going on. They are looking for things like people smuggling in weapons, drugs. I have a coworker that was auditing a hotel, walked up on the back of the house on a drug exchange. Give me just 1 second. And yes, that's why we now see video cameras everywhere in parking lots. But Kelly, that's a great point.
And I think that goes back to doing the risk register. What's my risk now that I have all? I don't have a high touch with the clientele. What's my risk here? No touch.
You have a zero touch.
So what's my risk? What are my controls that people just can't walk in off? So now what you have is you have your room door protecting you from the outside world because anybody can come on board. Go ahead.
Yes, sir.
So I recently upgraded my 18 home security cameras from Google. And then it asked me for permission to my Facebook account. So it recognizes statements. So I'll get an alert on my phone, and it'll say so-and-so is on your property.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, facial recognition with Google, with Facebook.
I just got down a little sticker on my door that says, hey, facial recognition is on the property. So I'm just curious, what have you heard about hotels? I mean, if I can do it for my
client, I guarantee you every casino in the United States has facial recognition running on their software.
The casinos, absolutely.
Regular hotels, I'm not so sure.
Your regular Hampton Inns, Marriott's, even...
$3 more a month.
Okay,
well,
everybody heard that.
Price.
Go ahead and get a sign up, $3 a month.
I will say shopping malls. shopping malls are absolutely getting the facial technology in their facial recognition, and that's why you see there's a whole lot of like smash and grabs going on. People come in, they just basically smash their way into the store, grab stuff, or they'll just walk right in, pick up whatever they want, and walk out.
So let's take a back up for a minute. Okay, so we're talking, let's talk about big hotel chains, latest technology. Now let's go back to the motel. I'm going to pick on 192, a motel on 192.
Hey, oh, boy.
Hey, look, I'm in a different world. I've got different resources. I'm not worried about AI, et cetera. What I'm looking at is who's staying there. I'm not worried about human trafficking. How am I training my staff? Am I taking an 18-year-old person that's been working there for 3 months and putting them on at night, midnight, and then and really educate them anything about emergency system stuff? So we got 1 minute left. Otherwise, you guys might be late for lunch. So Andrew and I can talk forever. If y'all guys want to talk to us after, that's fine. Go ahead, Andrew.
So, you know, in conclusion, folks, is like Matt was mentioning earlier, times are changing. AI is coming out. We're getting the facial recognition software. We can check in to our hotel rooms, never talk to the front desk, and just use our phones. And the hotel and the hospitality industry is changing with it. Mm-hmm. And it may be behind the scenes and you don't see it. Whether it's with camera placement, with new RFIDs, with new ways to lock down keys at night to turn back in and count keys, key tracker type systems.
Yeah, key tracker systems are great.
So there's a lot of different things out there, and it's a lot to go into in 45 minutes. However, the biggest thing that you can take away is doing your own threat assessments at your own organization, and then following up. It's one thing to do that threat assessment, but then you got to do something with it.
Right, right. All right, well, thank you so much for your attention. But don't get up yet. Don't get up yet. Hold on. Somebody wants to give you something.
The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are those of the host and its guest and do not necessarily reflect the official policy or position of the company. Examples of analysis discussed within this podcast are only examples. They should not be utilized in the real world as the only solution available, as they are based only on very limited and dated open source information. Assumptions made within this analysis are not reflective of the position of the company. No part of this podcast may be reproduced, stored in a retrieval system, or transmitted in any form or by any means, mechanical, electronic, recording, or otherwise, without prior written permission of the creator of the podcast, Jay Allen.